give you praise this morning. We extol your holy name. We honor you. We love you. Thank you for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for blessing us with your word. Thank you for blessing us with your life. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. In Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. God bless you. I'll just share with us briefly, maybe for 40, 45 minutes. And then we'll go and prepare for the evening service. Tonight's service will be a night of power. Yes. There are so many transformations that will take place. So many impartations that will take place. Lives and destinies will be shifted for good by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. I want to honor Daddy and Mama in the house this morning. It's an honor to be here to share. I know that this is a ground of faith. So coming to minister here, myself is already receiving impartations. The reason we are able to say far is because there are giants that have gone ahead of us, that have paved the path. And every time we have the opportunity of interacting with them, we know there is a shift in our own lives. So I didn't only come to minister, I came to be ministered. And I've already been blessed greatly. Thank you, sir. Honor you greatly. So we began to consider the subject of faith. And not just faith, but the faith that makes for enlargement of your horizon. And like Daddy was sharing this morning, when you get there, three things becomes your characteristic. Ideally, you will think faith, you will talk faith, you will do faith. It will be impossible for you to think fear, to think uncertainty, or to think negativity. You just know it works. When you begin to think faith, talk faith, and walk faith, then you know you have arrived at that place where anything is possible. As we deal with faith, you are going to realize there is an operation of faith called the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is a special operation of faith that works in the life of a man when he has become aligned with the Holy Spirit. So it is the movement of the Spirit that determines the movement of the man. So he thinks the thoughts of God, he talks the word of God, and he does the things of God. Because as the Spirit is such a man. So anything the Spirit does or wants to do, the man naturally flows with the Holy Ghost to do it. When a man gets to that point, he is powered by the spirit of faith. This is not a man trying to hope things will work. So long as the Spirit moves, the man has moved. It's a realm of perfect alignment with the Holy Ghost. And then there is what we call the word of faith. The word of faith is built in your spirit as you sit on the word of God. So what the word says is what you believe. He said it's the word of faith that we preach. If the word says yes, you cannot but think yes. You cannot but say yes. You cannot but do yes. This is what it meant when he said, and no inhabitant of that land shall say, I am sick. Because you cannot say what the word is not saying. You have built the word in your spirit so much that your experiences are the experiences of the word. In the Greek, we call it homologia. saying what the word says. If a man develops the word of God in his spirit to a point where he functions as the word, then he's at the level where we call the word of faith. So what the word cannot do is the only thing that man cannot do. And thanks be to God, even the words were framed by the word of God. So there is nothing the word cannot do. So there is the word of faith, which we preach, which is on our mouth, and which is what we do. It's a dimension in faith. And then there is the gift of faith. The gift of faith is divided unto every man severally as the Holy Ghost wills. So that operation takes place when the Spirit of the living God chooses to achieve something, a feat in a man. You can come to a place, because you can conquer the world does not mean you will do what you want. The gift of faith is predicated upon your discernment of the Holy Ghost and your obedience of the Holy Spirit. You may be able to say, fall down and die, but that's not what the Holy Ghost wills. So even though the power to make it happen is there, it's not what the Holy Ghost is doing. So the gift of faith is a proponent of the will of the Holy Spirit. So when it is given to a man, that man becomes a keeper of the will of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Ghost wants anything to happen, it's just at the mercy of that man's proclamation. If he says it, it will happen. These three, when you are characterized by it, then you know you think faith, you talk faith, you do faith. And this morning, we want to go a little bit further to understand the dimension of faith that creates and enlarges our horizon. You know, the faith for enlarged horizon has two dimensions. There is a dimension where that faith literally increases your sphere of influence. So it is a faith that creates. And then there is also a dimension of that faith that empowers you to live in an enlarged horizon. What do I mean by that? For example, when the prophet over this commission came here, there was no building here. There was nothing here to be desired. You come now, you see all the glory, you love it. But once upon a time, he was only a man standing. It was that faith that created all you are seeing now. So the faith for an enlarged horizon is a faith that increases and multiplies. So a man can come as one man, like Jacob said, but when he's returning, he will return with two companies, because that faith has increased his word. And then there is also a second dimension of that faith, which I will speak about tomorrow. It's a dimension where if God brings you into enlargement, you will be able to sustain it. Because it does not only take faith to create, it also takes faith to sustain. He said, we understand that the walls are sustained. The walls that were created by faith are also sustained by the word of his power. So the word did not only create the world, the word also sustains the world. So if the word only created the world, it would have collapsed by now. Even the laws of physics will make sure it collapses. The world is in a constant motion. And because it's in a constant motion, there are two forces that keeps it in balance. There is the centrifugal force and the centripetal force. Because according to the law of motion, every object that is in motion will continually dissipate energy until it collapses. So it takes another faith to keep what is already always generating energy to stand. Every day the man of God is releasing faith, is releasing life, is releasing money, is releasing grace. Why is this standing? Because there is a faith that sustains. So there is a faith that builds, and there is a faith that sustains. So when we talk about the enlarged horizon, first of all, we are considering the faith that builds. And then we also talk about the faith that sustains. You can have faith to generate 1 million. You will take faith to keep it useful. You may have faith to generate 1 billion. It will take faith to keep that 1 billion useful. A man who doesn't have the faith that sustains, give him 1 billion. Check him out after 6 months. He will be amazed that he has reduced to nothing. So the faith for an enlarged horizon is not just for increase. It's also for sustenance. But this morning, I want to build on a little on the increased dimension of the faith. And that's why I began from Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 yesterday. It said, through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, and the things which are were not made from the things which do appear. So there was nothing you could see before. Everything was emptiness upon emptiness. Nothing appeared. It was by the word of faith that the word came into being. So that is a faith that enlarges. That is a faith that builds. That is a faith that increases. So when a man steps into that faith, it doesn't matter what he has. With a staff, he can take over Egypt. It doesn't matter what he carries. Even with a barley, little low dough of bread, he can feed for a year. It doesn't matter where he gets to. If you take him to the wilderness will become a fruitful field, and a fruitful field will become a forest. Why? Because the operation of that faith is such that it enlarges. But the Bible made us to understand. It said this kind of faith, it functions by understanding. The faith that enlarges functions by understanding. And I remember telling us yesterday that nobody has a problem of faith. The Bible said in Romans chapter 12 verse 3 that he dealt unto everyone the measure of faith. So the amount of faith you need for your destiny to shine, the amount of faith you need for your destiny to be glorious has already been dealt to you. The problem is the understanding to work it out. That is where a lot of people have a challenge. In Matthew 17 verse 19 to 20, he says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast out, and if you do not doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. So our problem is not the problem of faith. Everyone here can become a mighty company. Everyone here can become a great nation. Everyone here can become a company that will take over the north. But the question is, where is the understanding to make it happen? There is the faith that enlarges, but where is the understanding that backs that faith up? In Job chapter 38 verse 7, he said, declare now if you have understanding. It means if you have understanding, you can make decrees. But if you do not have understanding, forget it. Nothing can work. So your results in this life is dependent on the quality of your understanding. In fact, in Psalm 82 from verse 5, it said, they know not, neither will they understand. So they walk on in darkness. It said, I have said unto you, ye are God, because ye are the children of the Most High. It said, but you will fall like the princes. So what was the problem? It wasn't because they lacked capacity. They were gods, but they lacked understanding. So in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, it says, my people, who are his people? In 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, it says, whoever is born of God overcometh the world. So his people that should overcome the world, what did he say? He said, they perish for the lack of knowledge. So you may have within you the power to overcome the world. You may have within you the power for an endless boundary. He said, but if you do not have understanding, you will perish. For my people perish for the lack of knowledge. This is why I say, buy the truth, sell it not. Buy the truth, sell it not. In this kingdom, nothing compels to understanding. The day understanding comes to you, you will be amazed that you will become a champion almost instantly. And I said, the first basic things we need to understand about faith is how this faith works. Very basic. Before we begin to talk about the realms of mantles, before we begin to talk about the realms of the mysteries of faith, there are basics that every believer needs to know. And I said, the first basic thing about faith is that faith talks. Every faith that is quiet is a faith that is dead. Every faith that is quiet is a faith that will produce no result. Because the way faith was designed to work is that faith speaks. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1. God showed up. He said the world was empty and void. The power to recreate the world was in him. But God hovered upon the face of the deep. We don't know how long. And nothing changed. Even with God, if he is quiet, nothing will change. That the Spirit of God was moving does not provoke any change. This is why many people come to church, they fall under the power. The power of God is moving, they are watching. Wow, this is good. And they go back, nothing happened. Because even with God, the world cannot be created until God begins to speak. He knows how this faith works. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So he had created before. He had experience. But the experience notwithstanding can change nothing. You may be a faith champion. You may have had experiences before. You may even have lived in the house of Benson in Idahosa. It doesn't mean anything will change. Because the same God that created the heavens and the earth, lo and behold, he came back to the earth and the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Have you been there before where last year you wrought great exploit and today all of a sudden everything is a contradiction? It looks as if, is it not the same me that made so many exploits last year? What is happening? I tell you what is happening. You have stopped talking. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was in darkness. God showed up again. He knew how he created the first earth. So all he needed to do was to do the same thing that he did before he created the first earth. And he said, God said, let there be light. The light can come, but it will never come until you say it. This is how the faith works. The job can come, but it will never come until you say it. The contract can come, but it will never come until you say it. Even the dead can come back to life, but it will never come until you say it. Jesus came to Lazarus' tomb. Jesus was crying. God didn't look at the tears of Jesus and say, "Kai, if Jesus is crying, then the dead must come back to life." He wept. Nothing happened. That you are crying before the circumstance does not mean anything will change. Your tears does not hold the power to create change. Jesus wept. Nothing happened. Until he came to the tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forth." So have you been crying over the situation? Wipe your eyes and start talking. Jesus wept. The man was well dead. If Jesus wept in that funeral and left, he would have remained dead. This is how many people cry over their circumstances. For 10 years, they have been crying. Your faith doesn't work because you cry. Your faith works because you speak. That's how it works. And I told you the reason yesterday. You are born of God. So you function how God functions. If God functions by talking, then you too will only function by talking. Because he said he came unto his own knew him not. But as many as believed, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. So if you are born of God, it's the same way God changed things that you will change things. That's why he said, say to this mountain. He didn't say cry before the mountain. He didn't say sing before the mountain. Say to this mountain. So if there is a challenge, if there is an area in your life that you need to expand, then that's an area where you need to begin to talk. In Isaiah 44 verse 26, he said, "I am the Lord that confirmed the words of my servants and performed the counsels of my messengers." I don't perform the emotions of my servant. I don't perform the feelings of my servants. I am obligated to perform the words of my servant. So when my servants don't speak, even though I'm the all-powerful God, I become powerless in their circumstance. The reason most times our life looks like a reproach is because we have not given God the right to function in our lives. I perform the words of my servant. So it's what you say God does. In Isaiah 43 verse 26, it says, "Come, let's reason together." It says, "Speak thou, that thou mightest be justified." There are too many believers either not talking or talking only the wrong things. There are those who are not saying anything, so their life is tight. There are others who are talking, but they are saying only the wrong things. The power of God is here, but nobody will be healed until we talk. The power of God is here, but nobody will be imparted until we talk. The guy who dropped his crutches yesterday was here from the beginning. There was enough power to heal him. The only reason he was healed was because I said, if you couldn't walk, stand up. The moment you talk, you give direction to the power of God. That's how it works. There is somebody, there's a young man here. You said to yourself before you came for this conference, you said you will not leave until you see me. Now, where you are sitting, the anointing that works with me will come on you now. You don't need to do anything. Just sit down. Father, there is one of them that you have ordained that his faith will be honored. He doesn't need to make physical contact. But right now, I ask that he makes a spiritual contact. So the grace here, in the name of Jesus, the Lord is already touching them. Now, I release that impartation. Touch that one. Hey. Practical. They were here with hunger in their spirit. I was already teaching, but they could not receive it until I spoke it forth. If I don't say it, they won't touch it. That's how it works. They came with hunger, but it took the speakings of faith to transfer that dimension to the person. There is another person at the back. There's another person. By the strength of the Spirit, the hand of God comes upon you like a violent wind. It comes upon you like a violent wind. When we want to change things, we start talking. We don't talk things because we feel it. Sometimes you don't even feel like it. But the law have no regard for your feeling. It has regard to your words. It's just a little practical to show you. There are people here who are sick now. Until we give command. See, there are many things that won't happen until believers begin to talk and talk the word of God. Your change is already on your lips. If you don't utter it, the power will not make it happen. This is how it works. I said number two, that the faith that enlarges your horizon, praise. In Mark chapter 11, from verse 22, it says, have this kind of faith. It says, if you say to the mountain, be thou removed, and you do not doubt in your heart, he said, the mountain will be removed. And he said, you will have whatsoever you pray. You say, and he went to verse 24. And you say, whatsoever ye desire, when thou prayest. So you don't just talk. He said, whatsoever ye desire, when thou prayest. When ye pray, believe that you receive it. So the commandment must be backed with prayer. There are many people talking who are not praying. In verse 23, he said, if you command the mountain, it will be removed. But he's showing you the dynamic in verse 24. When thou prayest. So if you don't pray, your commandment will be void. There will be no power to make it happen. I told us yesterday that prayer fills our cloud. Our commandments empties our cloud. So it is when the cloud be full of rain that they will empty themselves upon the earth. Your commandment empties the cloud. But when the cloud is empty, there is nothing to release. So you must first of all fill the cloud with rain before you can empty it upon the face of the earth. Too many believers are not praying. They are just talking and talking empty words. And many times we bring reproach to Christianity because we don't pray. You create your world literally by prayer. God has created his own world. Your own world in the word of God will be created by prayer. That's why the quality of a man's experience is a function of the activities that take place on his altar. God has created the world for all of us. Your own world will be created by prayer. Few years ago, my dad was attacked. And they said he was likely to die. Spine challenge, prostrate challenge. What nonsense is this? And I said, no. In this my world now, my dad must still be alive. So I went to the place of prayer. And as I was praying, it can't happen. Suddenly, Psalm 90 verse 10 popped out. He said, the years of thy life shall be 70. And if after the manner of strength, it be 80. I gave him 80 years immediately. It wasn't enough. I continued in prayer. And after a while, Isaiah 55 popped out in my spirit. 65 verse 20. And he said, the child shall not die until he is 100 years old. He shall not die until he is 100 years old. I created that possibility in the place of prayer. The moment God spoke, I stood up. Thank you, Jesus. It is done. Even if all the witches in the village stood up, the world has already been created in prayer. Nothing can change it anymore. If you sit down and you don't pray, anything can happen to you. But men who pray, they determine what happens to them. You don't wake up and say, we don't know what's happening. We are hoping on the mercy of God. The mercy of God is already available to everybody. The man who prays fetches how much of it he needs. Bishop Oedeko was praying in 1984. Ministry was not growing. And he said, what is happening? If this thing continues like this, when I'm 100 years old, the church will be 1,000. And he gathered his people in church, 3 days fasting and prayer. And as he was praying, God said, step out. He stood up and stepped out. Look at the roof. And when he looked, there was a dark cloud covering the church. He said, this is what misinterprets everything you do in this church to the people. Wow. Is this it? He knew what to do. And the light shines in the darkness. and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, get out! And instantly, he rode away. Church exploded. There is nothing like a disadvantage for a believer. The only problem the believer has is that he doesn't pray. The moment you begin to pray, in the spirit realm, you will see many options. You will choose the one you want. You will choose the one you want. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But I will rather live so that I will help you. Those men, nothing happens to them. They create their possibilities. He said, this power have I received from the Father. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up. No man taketh my life from me. They have decided, they dragged the man to the cliff. And I'm using the word man so that you will see it in the picture where yourself can participate in. Drag Jesus to the cliff to throw him off. And the Bible says he walked through them. A mob that was angry at you, you must die, took you to the cliff to cast you down. When you allow them to do their worst, at the edge of the cliff, he suspended time and he walked through them. And the angry mob stood confused. After he left, they now asked themselves, what are we doing here? No man can take my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. And I have the power to take it up again. That's what prayer does for you. When you begin to pray, you command your own results. The elders of old had so much altars that they commanded their own death. When they were ready to leave, they gathered their children and they blessed them. When they are done blessing them, they sleep with their fathers. Power to change their world. They generated it in prayer. Please help the brother so he doesn't fall from the gallery. Every worthwhile vision that shakes this world was bettered on the altar of prayer. In Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1, he said, I will stand upon my watch and see what he shall say to me. And he said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables. Nothing enlarges your course like visions. But visions are offsprings of prayer. I will stand upon my watch to see what he will say to me. So the way to see is to pray. You don't see by opening your eyes. You see by mounting up in prayer. That's where you see from. Upon the mountain, the Lord shall be seen. That's the meaning of Jehovah Jireh. And Jesus came and attested to it. Abraham, your father, saw my day and rejoiced in it. So when Abraham was living his life, he was preparing for the coming of Jesus Christ. He had seen into the future. Visionless generation. So they can't take their words. And the reason is because they can't bet it. Isaiah 66 verse 8, he said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. There is a vision that will not be born until you travail. There is a dimension that can open up your world that will not be born until you pray. He said, a man's gift maketh room for him and causes him to stand before kings. But the door to the palace will never open until you bet it in the place of prayer. Prayer literally re-engineers you for the future you are looking for. The future you are looking for, this your look won't show up there. You need many re-engineering to be able to future in that future. It takes prayer to do it. Luke 9:28, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. There was a dimension of him that needed to appear as the Son of the living God. It was in prayer that he altered himself to achieve that dimension. There is a dimension of you that your world will celebrate. But if you don't go through the rigor of prayer, the world will be seeing the unrefined you that they don't need. So you'll be lobbying from place to place. When you show up, you are not the one we are looking for. But as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Even his raiment began to glister. In Exodus 34 from verse 29 to 35, he said, as Moses prayed, it wasn't a prerogative of Jesus Christ. It's a prerogative of every man who prays. He said, as Moses prayed, his skin began to shine. When Moses came down, they saw a God. God had told him in Exodus chapter 7 from verse 1, I have made you a God. But it was in Exodus 34 that he came in the similitude of a God. He took prayer for that transformation to take place. God say you will be the governor of your state. God say you will be the next voice of your generation. There is a trumpet that your voice needs to carry for your generation to hear. It's not this your you that is talking, help us, help us. There is something that must happen to you to provoke that utterance that your generation is looking for. That spiritual re-engineering is in the place of prayer. For we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord, we are changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the living God. As you begin to engage Him, something changes. That is the version of you that men will join themselves to. David was in the wilderness. Nobody cared. He was serving in Saul's house. Nobody cared. But there is a level of engineering that David entered into. And the Bible says daily, men joined themselves to David until his host became like the host of God. There is a dimension of you that even the governor of Yola will come looking for, of Adamawa State will come looking for. There is a dimension of you that BBC will seek your attention, that they want to interview you for 5 minutes. But it will take many phases of re-engineering for it to happen. So the faith we speak about doesn't just speak. That faith prays. This faith can change your seasons. The season where the enemy say you'll be disgraced can become the season of your manifestation. If only you will pray. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 4 verse 2. From verse 1 it said, it was a season of temptation. And he said the Holy Ghost drove him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he came into the wilderness, he wasn't waiting to be tempted. He started fasting and praying. When he finished fasting and praying, the season that should be the season of temptation became the season of manifestation. The Bible said he returned, Luke 4:15, in the power of the Spirit, and his fame went abroad. He was supposed to go and suffer temptation and come back like a bird that was beaten with rain. But he returned in the power of the Spirit. His fame went abroad. Meanwhile, there are many believers that it was in their trials they were destroyed. Trials are not meant to destroy believers. They are meant to make them shine. But the ingredients that convert trial to manifestation is prayer. So this faith prays. It's not just talking. Did the devil come? Yes. Because he will keep his appointment with you. But what will make you come out of the valley of temptation and shine is prayer. He returned in the power of the Spirit. When it was time for his ministry to enter a phase of great power, he still took prayer. He was walking in power. Demons were cast out. Things were happening. He needed to migrate from the realm of power to the realm of great power. The season was already there, but it was not happening. And the Bible said in Luke chapter 9, verse 28, after 8 days, he took Peter, James, and John, and he went to the mountain. And as he prayed, something happened. Elijah and Moses came to him, spoke to him about what he would do in Jerusalem. And in verse 35, he said, there was mighty power. The disciples had power. You shall be endued with power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Luke 24:49. But there was a time when they held them and molested them, and power was not enough. They needed great power. So a new season needed to come upon them. What did they do? Acts chapter 4 verse 28. They went to their own company and they lifted their voices and they prayed. In verse 33, it said with great power. In Luke 24:49, they received power. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, they receive great power. So they change their seasons by prayer. You can be a preacher in one location for 20 years. It doesn't mean you should be there for 20 years. You can be a businessman in a kiosk for 5 years. It doesn't mean you should be there for 5 years. There are many seasons allocated into your destiny. But it will take prayer for you to graduate from one season to another. You weren't meant to go into politics and serve as a counselor and your political career ends. There is a season where you should be chairman. There's a season where you should be governor. There's a season where you should be senator. But if you don't pray, another person will hijack it from you. It is in prayer that we fight to to insist that our season must be ours. When the time came for him to go to the cross and procure salvation, he didn't just say it is time. The Bible said he went to Gethsemane. Matthew 26, 39, 42. And he prayed until his sweat was like the clock of blood. And he said, Father, if it were possible, take this cup from me. But yet it's not my will, but thine. So the season of salvation would not have been born except as he prayed. He would have walked out of it. Because the body was not willing, even though the spirit was willing. Many seasons have come and gone over the lives of people. The problem is because they couldn't download that season in the place of prayer. You have attended programs, we respect that. You have met men of God, we respect that. But your season can only come if you will provoke it in prayer. Jesus met John, but he still went to the mountain to pray. It was in that prayer that he changed the season of disgrace and temptation to a season of manifestation and glory. This faith, it prays. It prays. The third thing I want to add this morning is that this faith is not psychology. This faith is not manipulation. This faith is not philosophy. Listen, the challenges of life are real. You can come to church and say, turn around 3 times, and they turn and they fall down, and you say, power of the Holy Ghost. When you go out, the demons don't turn around. The demons, the statement they make is sickness, is death, is frustration. You can gather a few people and deceive them because you know more than them. The demons you are dealing with, they have lived for more than 1 million years. They know your great-grandfather, they know your grandfather, they know your father, they know you. You can't manipulate them. Their language is not English. Their language is power. Spirits don't speak English. Spirits speak power. So when a demon wants to talk to you, he will talk in form of sickness. He will talk in form of barrenness. He will talk in form of death. So the way to go about it is to have something real and something genuine. You can stage manage so that your audience on the internet will clap. But when you go out into the world, you will meet spirits that want to kill you. John 10:10, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So you must have your faith established upon the rock. And the only true foundation in this realm is the word of God. So any faith that is built on philosophy will crash. As beautiful as stories are, they only come to inspire faith. There is no faith that is built on stories. You can hear the story of Bessie in the Dahosa, it will inspire you. You can hear the story of A.A. Allen, it will inspire you. You can hear the story of Bishop Macanto, it will inspire you. Sir, your faith will be built on the word. If it is not on the word, you'll be in trouble. Because the stories in your soulish realm, only the word travels into your spirit. There are many people, they heard that somebody, the mother died, and he put handkerchief on it. Many have put handkerchief, nothing happened. Because the guy who put handkerchief, there is a revelation he was working with. The story only inspired him. If there is no word at the foundation of what you are doing, you are a joker. There are many young ministers today, when they stand to talk, it's philosophy from beginning to end. It cannot transform. It cannot change lives. There are many people today, they come to preach, it's stories from beginning to end. You can't take story into your destiny. You need the word. He said the words were framed by the word of his power. So if your faith is not built on the word, you are a joker. He said, when I came unto you, I did not come to you with excellency of speech, declaring the counsel of God. I came with the demonstration of spirit and power, that your faith will be built on the word, the wisdom of God, and not on the philosophies of men. The reason most of us run into problem and we crash land is because there is no word at the foundation. You want to get married, you just came to church and they said this sister was 38 years old and then suddenly she got married and then you come and key in with a seed. Thank you. You have done well. But when you leave that place, go and find out what did he say about marriage. That is what will energize your spirit. You came to hear. They said, this brother just came here. After 3 months, things turned around. Thank you. That's inspiring. Serve with all your heart. But find out, what does he know? There is a word he's standing upon. Because if you are not standing on the word, the wind will come. The rains will come. And the Bible said, it will beat on it violently. And when it does, he said, if your house crumbles, it means it was built on sand. It wasn't built on the rock. The rock is the word of God. The only thing that causes your faith to take over territories and to keep expanding is when it is built on the word of God. I assure you, we are a generation that don't know the word of God. Even pastors don't know the word of God. I'm telling you, even pastors, when they are done screaming and shouting on the altar, sit down with them and say, what is the power of tithing? You will be shocked. Sit down with them and say, sir, how does a man really get saved? You will be shocked. Sit down with them and tell them, what is the proof that Christianity is the only way? You will be shocked. Sit down with them and find out, why do you think Jesus is truly the Son of God? You will be amazed. They have stories in their head. They have energy because they are young. And they are shouting. That's why nobody grows. They are there for 20 years. They are still confused. Because there is no definite word and coordinated truth for their life to be built upon. If your faith is not built on the word of God, your challenges will show you that what you carry is fallacy. He said the church in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Because after they heard what we said, they went to search to see if what was said was true. It's not meet for us to give ourselves to tables. We will give ourselves to what? Prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts 6 verse 4. So the guys were not apostles because they saw Jesus. They were not apostles because they had encounters. They were not doing great impact. They were because they were just apostles. There were words that they stood upon. Every stage of their transformation had a definite word that orchestrated it. Every phase. In Mark 16:20, he said they went from place to place, speaking the word. And he said the Spirit confirmed not their words. The Spirit confirmed the word of the Lord, with signs and wonders following. That marriage may never materialize until there is a word you are standing on. Because it is that word that compares the integrity of God to work. That job may not materialize until there is a word you are standing on. In our generation today, if you begin to read scripture, people start dozing off. They get tired because they don't know where true strength is. We love stories. We love oratory. We love mysteries. But we don't know the word of God. Call out 30 Christians and ask them to explain salvation to you. You'll be shocked. There are many people who pray in tongues 10 hours. They make a pride and a boast of it. Project it on the internet everywhere. Call them and ask them, what is the power of speaking in tongues? This speaking in tongues that you speak in tongues every day from morning to night, what is the power of speaking in tongues? You will be amazed. The guy doesn't know. He will just tell you, when you are speaking in tongues, things will happen. Mountains will fall. He will change your world. Things will change. He just starts saying a lot of things. And that you are saying it fast does not mean there is power in it. There is a definite revelation. I can tell you every season of my life, the word that came. There are many people who perish in this generation because of zeal. They just stand up. I'm going to Yola. I'm going to Kebbi. God gives them a job. They say, no, they won't take that job. They should labor for Jesus now. So they want to go to Afghanistan. They will cut off your head. Because there is no word you are standing on. And that you rejected the work, the job, does not mean God is pleased. God is pleased when you do what God says. Our generation, we assume that because you did what was hard, it will impress God. God is not impressed because you did what was hard. God is impressed because you do what he says. If you ask daddy today, he will tell you what God told him. He can even tell you the date when God told him, come here. Probably this is not where he wanted to come to. Maybe there was another state that he was affiliated to. And he knew people there. He knew the land. He knew what to do. But God said, come to Yola. So there is a definite war. Abraham was having a good time with his parents. Genesis 12. The Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, out of thy kindred, out of thy father's house, and come to the land that I will show you. He was walking on the word of God. The reason you will not sink is not because you are strong. The reason you will not sink is because you are standing on the word. The day you fail to stand on the word, you will go down. Any faith that is not built on the word of God is fake. No matter how philosophical it sounds, no matter how mystical it sounds, it is fake. And you will not know it until the circumstances of life begin to buffet you. Too important. But you see, our generation, we don't labor in the world anymore. Because we have not been told that faith worketh only when it is built on the word of the Lord. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate upon it day and night to see that thou doest what is written thereof. He said, then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall have good success. Good success is not philosophy. It is when you stand upon the word. Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is on the word of the Lord. And on that word, he meditates day and night. When he's established on the word, he said he's like the tree that is planted by the rivers of living waters. It's when he's planted on the word that it becomes like the tree planted by the rivers of living waters. Its leaves will not wither. So when you see somebody flourishing, don't be moved by what you are seeing. Hear him carefully. Find out at the foundation there is a word. There is a word. Man shall not live by bread alone. Matthew 4 verse 4. But by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. The reason we are bold is not because we are experienced. The reason we are bold is because we are standing on the word of the Lord. So we know that that word can never fail. The pillars of this realm is on that word. If the word fails, I'm not the one who will fail. The word itself will crash. Because this word was built by the word of his power. So when I see the moon, when I see the sun, I know that the covenants of God will never shake. So when God speaks, before I'm afraid, I will see mountains collapse. Because I know even the mountains are standing because of his word. I know the sun is where it is because of his word. So it's not these little blind eyes I want to attend to that will shake my faith. There are too many things standing on the word of God for me to become afraid. The whole universe was built on the word of God. So before I talk, before I act, I must labor to apprehend the word of God. Faith built on philosophy, we crumble. Faith built on stories, we crumble. Only faith built on the word of God will stand. And when your faith is built on the word of God, there are five things that the word of God will do amongst other things. Because when your faith is built on the word of God, the beauty of that faith is when there is crisis. Hope you know, all the stories of faith you heard them in the middle of crisis. They never told you the story of faith that the man was a man of faith and he preached faith. You will say, okay, so what happened? It is in Christ that faith is glorified. So when you heard of Alexander Dowie, it's because he came for a meeting and he wanted, they've not had rain. And they told him, sir, don't preach your gospel. We need rain. If your gospel can't bring rain, no need. And he said, is it rain? No problem. Rain, fall now. And it starts raining. And then when you hear it, you are inspired. Meanwhile, where the man was the valley of the shadow of death. But it is in darkness that faith shines. The faith of psychology runs away from problem. So the guy is talking about power until the blind come into the auditorium. He's talking about healing until he sees the cripple. That is psychological faith. Faith built on the word of God is glorified in the face of crisis. We talk power until there is problem. The guy talks about raising the dead, about how best in the house are raised the dead, about how today we can raise the dead until they say, sir, there is a dead man at the back. He will now say, you know, we need the mercy of God in this generation, the mercy of God. Because his faith is psychology. The man who has the faith of the world, when there is problem, he say, where is it? They say, Lazarus is dead. He say, I'm coming to wake him up. I'm not coming there to preach about resurrection. I'm coming there to raise the dead. And when he showed up, Martha said, if you were here, our brother would not have died. They said, no, he has to die before I come. Because if he doesn't die, you will not see the glory of resurrection. Have I not told you before? I am the resurrection and the life. Him that believeth in me will not die. And even if he were dead, he will live again. Yes, we know it will happen on the resurrection day. I'm not talking about the story of the resurrection day. I am telling you, I am the resurrection and the life. Where have you kept him? Oh, he has been there for 4 days. It makes the testimony more glorious. If it was 30 minutes ago, they would have said he fainted. If it's 4 days, then he is dead indeed. Take me there. And he showed up. Lazarus, come forth. They didn't lose him. The world did not only raise him from the dead. He was tied. The world carried him from where they laid him to the door. And he said, lose him. Let him go. And he said, many believed him because they saw Lazarus. They will not believe you because you are a good faith teacher. They will believe you because of the crisis situation that you turned around. So the glory of faith built on the word is in the midst of challenges. I told them humorously in Ghana, I say in our generation, we talk so much and do so little. But in the generation of Jesus, they did so much and said so little. The difference is because their own faith is built on the word. Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give you. He wasn't talking to the man about healing. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and begin to walk. And the man stood up, jumping and leaping, and went into the auditorium. And he said, everybody glorified God. Not because the man preached about healing, but because they saw healing. He said, Paul was teaching in a certain city, and he saw a man that had faith to be healed. And he said, Jesus, make thee whole. Rise up and walk. Instantly, the city went abroad. Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there. The city was full of joy. When they saw the maimed straightened, the cripples walking, and devils coming out of the people. Faith is not story. Faith is action. When your faith is built on the word of God, the first thing it does is that it defies darkness. John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. And what did the light do? The light shines in the darkness. If you don't have crisis, you may think God is story. It is when God delivers you from the pit that no matter what they say, you will say, no, me, I believe in God. The reason they give people money and they leave Christianity is because their faith have not been able to challenge darkness. When you see faith deals with darkness, no matter what you see, you can't change your mind because you have seen the power of darkness defied by faith. I know you are not yet married. If you got married at the age of 23, you'll say it's because I'm beautiful. And then you'll be walking like this. And when they say, okay, come on, come on. I don't like dust. I don't like dust. All my fingernails must be kept. My nails. Give me my mascara, my foundation. But when you are 39 years, and even that walk, you can't walk like this again. And you are walking like this. And you now have 3 suitors. Before you say, I want to make my hair, you go and kneel down and say, thank you, Father. I know this one is light shining in darkness. Many times when people are too confident of themselves, God allows them. Because they won't know who to glorify. They may glorify their body. So we allow them. When you get to that point where darkness becomes obvious, then the glory of faith can shine. That's the faith built on the word of God. If you have headache, and then you sleep, and maybe you are prayed for, and you are healed, you say, no, I was stressed. So I needed some rest. If you go to the hospital and they say there is tumor, you will know it's not rest. When that pain stops, they will say, Jesus is healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was in Calabar yesterday. A young girl had multiple growth in her breast with excruciating pain. They thought it was a joke. They were already going for scan and all kinds of things. I finished preaching, I was so tired. And I said, growth vanished. And the lady checked. First, pain was gone. After a while, growth finished. When she came out to testify, she said, it's not there anymore. You know, if it was only pain, she might feel maybe I slept on the wrong side. When you see darkness, then you will need the faith that is built on the word. Even you will know this one is not psychology. When you come there, you'll say God wants to heal, and you see a blind man without eye socket. You know it's not your eyes itching you. This one is faith. So the way the faith of the word works is that it shines in the darkness. Darkness wants to shut your word. If we come here in the night and there's no light, nothing can happen here. So what darkness does is that it brings your word to a standstill. But there is a light that shines in the darkness. That light proceeds from the word. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, it said, to the law and to the prophets, if they speak not according to this word, it means there is no light in them. There is that light in the world that can change the world of darkness. It is the faith of the word of God that makes that happen. Every psychological faith runs from darkness, but every faith built on the word runs into darkness because it knows when it comes, light comes. Faith doesn't go to where it is easy. Faith makes it easy because the power to create change is in faith. In Job 29 verse 4, he says, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, by light I walked through darkness. In Psalm 119 verse 154, verse 105, he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When your faith is built upon the word, you are not looking for where things work. Today, even in church, there is so much politics. Everybody wants to be posted to the city center. When you post the pastor to the village, you say you hate him. What do you mean by that? Is it not in the village where there is darkness that you should shine? But because we no longer have light. So we are going to where there is artificial light. The people are bankers, they are lecturers, they are businessmen. So you come and say, we take this city in 3 days. Because they are already under the canopy of the set man. They now bring the money they earn from their salary. And then you say, we are doing exploit. If it is your word that is making them prosper, if they sent you to the village, you will have no problem. Because even if they have nothing, you will say, go to the river, cast thy hook. The first fish you bring out, open the mouth, pick the money that is there. Because you don't depend on their banking job to make them. It is the word that makes them. In the days of old, men who had faith that could defy darkness, they left America. Said they were missionaries coming to Africa. But today, every African wants to go to Europe. Because we don't have the faith that shines. Arise, shine. Thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is lifted upon you. I was talking to my friend. I told him, we need to begin missions in the villages of Numa. I notice when I go to Lagos and Abuja, I don't see cripples there. Everybody who is you come and tell you, there was noise in my ear. My eyes were scratching me. I said, no, I want to see cripples. I want to see clutches. Where do we find them? It's in the village. All the apostles now go for conferences where there is screen at the back. And then we are talking with coordination. That's why our power is not power. When you come to the village and you say healing service, there will be a segment where there will be 25 cripples. You will know you won't preach on healing unless you carry what you take. We want to prove, we want to preach in soundproof auditorium. And then we are talking rhema and mystery. When you go to the village, it's not mystery, it's power. Because the light shines in the darkness. I've said it many times. Those really doing ministry now are those in the village. Around 1 a.m., you are sleeping. They hit on the door. My friend, Apostle Philip, he's in a village called Obi in Benue State. Sometimes, 1 a.m., when he's tired sleeping, they will knock on the door. When he opens, then they will drop a dead child. And they will start crying there. They will not go. The guy didn't come down from the mountain. He woke up from sleep. And he will say, child, wake up! And the child will wake up. There's no video coverage. It's a normal thing. One of my friends went to visit him for crusade. When he came, the first day he became sick. He slept there for 3 days and came back home. Because that place is not English language, it's power. The light shines in the darkness. When your faith is built on the word, it is darkness that we glorify it. Number two, when your faith is built on the word, it silences devils and demons. All of the contradictions of life today are orchestrations of demons. So when you come to church, 90% sick, 70% jobless, know that demons are at work. Forget the excellence. Excellence is beautiful, but excellence without power is caricature. But when faith is built upon the word, just be talking. The sick will be getting healed. The jobs will be coming. Why? Matthew 8:16. And he cast out the evil spirit by his word. So when he speaks the word, demons obey. He cast out the evil spirit by his word. So when faith is built upon the word, a man becomes a ruler in the demonic realm. When faith is built on philosophy, even the one preaching will be suffering persecution and death. He will come and preach. A pastor went somewhere, heard the story, preach and say he's addressing the demons in the territory. When they drove him in convoy to his hotel room, the next day he woke up on the road. The demons he was challenging on the altar, they just sent a message. So they came to his room. They carried him from the bed and kept him on the road. So he woke up with duvet. He opened one eye. The sun was... I was in a water bed. What happened? Because where there is no word, there's no power. Philosophies don't address demons. They have a bank of philosophy. They were in this world before you were born. There is nothing you will say they've not heard. But when the word comes, the word rules over them. So even if the word have been repeated, repeat it again, you will still have the result. Most time it looks as if the word is weak. That's where the power is. Long time, a bold day, speaking boldly in the Lord. The Lord confirming the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hand. Acts 14 verse 3. Long time, a bold day. That was all they were doing. They kept pumping the word. They kept pumping the word. Don't be in the craze to say new things, to say mystical things, and appear like you are a cherubim. No, forget it. The word may be simple, but it has the power to steal the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou have ordained strength, that thou mightest steal the avenger. It is by the word. Faith built on the word can challenge any devil at any time. The reason is because the word himself went to Hades. And he said, you spoiled principalities and powers. You made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So the word has already defeated them. So when you come by the word, you are not going back to fight. You are coming from victory. The moment you present the word, they know the word. The word defeated them in hell. Colossians 2:14 and 15. Hallelujah. 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 When faith is built on the word, it continually produces increase and expansion. That's what we call breakthrough. Luke chapter 5, verse 5 to 6. Trained and experienced fishermen, they toiled all night, they didn't catch one. They know all the secrets about fishing, all the mysteries of fishing. But they did what? Toiled all night. And he came. He said, launch into the deep. He said, Master, we have toiled all night. And in case you don't know our credentials, we know this sea. We know all the seasons. We know the size of fish. We know where they come out. But we toiled all night. And it's not only us. Our brothers were also toiling on the other side. He said, but at thy word, at thy word, he launched into the deep, and the Bible said they had a great catch, and their nets were broken. This was why Peter, even though the wind was boisterous, Master, if it be thou, bid me come. He said, come. He jumped on the water. I have seen the word in action before. I've seen the word. If the word doesn't go before you, your word can never expand. But when the word goes before you, even if it's a rock, it will break the rock open. Anywhere the word goes is the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. John 14 verse 6. It may be a rock. If the word says, go forward, begin to go. Because I am the way. The word is the way. It came to a Red Sea. Lord, go forward. How do you walk through a Red Sea? Because the word is the way. Don't be like Lot. You have checked where there is green vegetation. And you say, this is where it works. That place will soon be consumed by fire. If the word says, go into the desert, he has the power to make the desert become a fruitful field and a fruitful field a forest. There is no road until the word has gone forth. Everywhere the word goes is the way. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, whom they bound in chains and kept in fetters. How do you send a man and you are sending him in chains? Because the excellency of the word was to be revealed. A man was thrown into a pit. He was sold as a slave. He was in prison for 14 years. He called it an errand. Because when you want to see the beauty of the world, sometimes it's in the greatest contradiction of life. It's at 40 you get pregnant. And then they are saying, medically it's impossible. And you give birth to 4. And the moment you give birth to 4, all of them are on scholarship. And one of them will become governor, one become prophet, one become evangelist, another one become a business merchant. Because when the word comes, any change is possible. He said, but until the time that his word came, Psalm 105, verse 17, the word of the Lord tried him. And instantly, he said, the king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. He didn't go to a school of legislation. He was in prison. While he was in prison, he was building on the wall. So the man comes out of prison and becomes a teacher of senators. There is no setback with a man of the world. Because you can leave the prison and become a prime minister. Somebody else can be working with human intelligence and remain Potiphar's houseboy for a lifetime. When he left Potiphar's house, he didn't know it was promotion. He would have remained a houseboy for a lifetime. But how can I do this evil against God? I have regard for the covenant. The word is a light unto my feet. And until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance to bind his princes at his pleasure, to teach his senators wisdom. When eventually those who sold him thought they sold him to slavery came looking for food, he told them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He sent me ahead of you to preserve a generation. When you are walking by the word, sometimes it looks slow. Take your time. When the word begins to reveal its excellencies, you will be shocked. You will be shocked. Elijah was in Horeb praying, waiting for the sign from heaven. And when the sign came, he said, and the hand of God was upon him. And he outran the chariots of Ahab unto Jezreel. Many times you are walking by the word, it looks as if your friends are faster than you. Because they have connection in the covenant house. Don't be troubled. You started a business. It looks as if they are better than you because their uncle has a connection with a businessman. That's beautiful. But don't worry. You just stay on the word. Stay on the word. Stay on the word. A day will come when the word of the Lord will burst forth. And even a rock can bring out water in the wilderness. A time will come when you are not looking for breakthrough anymore. You become the breakthrough. So you dig a well. The Philistines collect it. You say, keep it. My power is not in the well. It's in me. And then you dig another one. The one you left will dry up. The people who collected it will look for it again. They will collect it. You will still leave them with it. You will dig another one. You will keep going until your name will become Rehoboth. And a point will come. A whole nation will come and say, we know that you are bigger than us. We know. How can a man be bigger than a nation? Because that man walks by the oracles of God. So a wilderness, a palace, a prison, he doesn't know the difference. He's standing on the word of God. And anywhere he goes, he commands prosperity. We don't know the power of the faith of the world. That's why we are cutting corners. That's why we are doing psychology and manipulation. That's why you don't know where God wants to take you. If you know, even if you are in the prison, you will stay on the wall. Because after the prison, the next destination may just be a palace. And when you get to the palace, the king is not interested in story. He's interested in the man who can make the difference. And that man is the man of the world. Bow your heads and pray. The faith that works is the faith that is built on the wall. For the walls were framed by the word of God. How then shall a young man keep his ways? Psalm 119 verse 9 and 11. By taking heed unto thy word. Thy word have I put in my heart that I may prosper towards you. The word may not provoke your emotion. The word may not look bogus. He said, don't be like Eve that was beguiled by the serpent because she had no recourse and regard to the simplicity of the world. All God may tell you is stand still. When you stand still, you will see the salvation of God. Exodus 14:13. Stand still and see the salvation of God. You may be looking for big stories, big philosophy. The word is stand still. In Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word, and his word healed them and delivered them from all oppressions. How could people survive in the wilderness for 40 years except as the word became all they needed? Hallelujah. 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 When you hear a story and it inspires you, go back like the Berean Christian. Find out, Lord, what is your word saying about this? Don't jump with stories. They will betray you. When you hear a vision, don't run with it. Find out, Lord, what is the position of your word on this matter? If you run with that vision, it will betray you. Only the word can stand. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot of my word will pass away. Everything we build on will crash. The only thing that will stand is the word of God. Ask the Lord to reveal his word to you. Ask him to bring his word to you. That business may not be working, but if the word of the Lord comes forth, it can turn around. Your health may not be working. If the word of the Lord comes forth, there will be a turnaround. And even this morning, lives are changing for good. The excellency of the word. Paul said, I count all things as dung for the excellency of the word. The word of God can become more potent than your 50 years experience. It can become more potent than all your connections put together. It can become more potent than your training and expertise. Ah. your life are at the junctures of destiny. But most times, that's where many are confused, because they don't have the word of God. When I wanted to get married, some came with visions, catalogs of visions. They saw this, they saw this, they saw this. I said, thank you for your vision. I respect it, but I know what God told me. You want to do something because some people feel that if you do it, it will favor them. They will come and tell you things. If you don't have the word, you'll be in trouble. You can go somewhere. God sent somebody to your life because somebody else are dealing with that person and he didn't like it. He wants to block that person's way. He doesn't care about you. He comes to advise you as if he loves you. Meanwhile, he wanted to get back to that person. Your destiny is on the line, but he's bringing his petty sentiment to ruin your destiny. If you don't hear God, you will be in trouble. Today I can tell you that thank God I married, and I married who I married. It's the best thing that has happened to me in my life. Thank God I didn't hear those visions. Thank God I didn't take those advices. It's God that has the compass of your destiny. My life is expanding every day because I'm married. The anointing growing every day. Favor growing every day. If I tell you what has happened to me in the last 5 months, it's more than what has happened to me in the last 10 years. Somebody will wake up from his house and say, I don't think you should do this. What has God told you? That's where your salvation lies. If you check most of the people talking to you, it's for their own interest. And then your life will be scattered because you have no word for yourself. Hallelujah. Because we have trivialized the world. When God speaks, we say, well, God told me, but God told you, but some of us treat the word of God like nothing. That's why our life is the way it is. The power for lasting change is in the word. Some of us are so proud because we have said A, God now said B. We can't do B because people will think we don't know what we are doing. I was contemplating never to marry. I thought I would be a eunuch and pride myself in it. Until God said marry, and now I have preached about it. They troubled me to marry for 4 years. I'm my father's only son. He said, no. What will happen if I die now? What will happen? You are traveling everywhere. What if something happens to you? What becomes of my lineage? I said, sir, we don't die. I won't die. Every minister around me, cut, you need to marry now. As me, I was nurturing it that I will be a eunuch. So that when I'm 80 years old, I will come out of the cave and I will be talking to nations. Like a wise man that sought the face of God. It was pride. God said, marry. I said, no. Come on. We are apostles of fire. We are cavemen. The word will change your life forever. Today I'm married. I thank God I wasn't foolish to disobey the word. And meanwhile, God said, don't marry. That's your word. Keep it. It will make the difference in your life. You trivialize the word, you trivialize your destiny. But in this place, somebody is catching the word that will change our life. that will change his life forever. Somebody is coming out of the pit and is going straight to the palace. Somebody is coming out of the pit where there is no water. He's going straight to the palace. I decree over your life, your captivity is torn in the name of Jesus. Your crisis is torn in the name of Jesus. The contradiction to your life is settled in the name of Jesus. Go forward and prosper. Go forward and prosper. Your marriage is settled. Your family is settled. In the name of Jesus. You have come to a marriageable age. Now in the name of the Lord Jesus, I settle you to marriage. In the name of Jesus. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye prosper. Believe in his prophet, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophet, and you shall be established. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the gate of marriage opens to you. The gate of finances open to you. The gate of ministry opens to you. Receive speed. Receive acceleration. Go forward. Subdue. Multiply. Replenish. Conquer. In the name of Jesus. Your captivity is torn. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream dreams. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Your mouth shall be filled with laughter. In the name of Jesus. I banish death from your family. I remove the garment of reproach. I clothe you with favor. Favor that attracts the attention of kings. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Not one of you will be small. Amen. It's that the least of them was a great nation. I declare over your life, you shall be a great nation. Amen. You shall be a great nation. Amen. You shall be a great nation. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. He said, wherever the source of your feet shall step, it is given to you as an inheritance. Because you walk on the land of Yola. Because you walk in a Adamawa state. And whichever country you are, those on ground, those on the internet, I decree over you, that land opens to you. The gate of the city opens to you. You will eat of the good of the land. In the name of Jesus. Everything in your life that is dead, I call it back to life. I call it back to life. In the name of Jesus. From today, even the rich among the people shall entreat your favor. You will walk through darkness and prosper. And the Lord will take you to the mountains of glory. You shall be wise like the wise men of Shiloh. Everything you lay your hands to do shall prosper. And like the sons of Issachar, you will discern your season and you will walk in it. I release the blessings of God upon you, both on ground and online, in the name of Jesus, the risen Christ. You are blessed. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord give you peace. The name of the Lord is named upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The hand of God is upon you perpetually. Everywhere you go, the dread of God is upon you. And it will steal your enemies. You will not fail in any battle. You have rest on every side. Rise and shine. For thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is lifted upon you. So, let it be written. And so let it be established in Jesus' precious name. You are blessed.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.